Cool. All right. Well, I'm gonna start the recording for the DJMblog.com podcast number 4 on January 22nd, 2011. And Jim and Mark are joining me for the opening of the podcast. So I wanted to talk about iOS games. So I had to have Jim on. Have you haven't tried Tap2Flap, have you? Because I've seen you in Game Center and you don't know that.
No, yeah, you probably know the games that I played because all the stuff's on Game Center. Yeah,
I'm telling you, Tap2Flap is this primitive, borderline like stupid game, but it's pretty awesome. Like, it's a duck and you tap it every time you want it to flap up, and then it you try to avoid anvils and clouds that destroy you and giraffes and stuff, and you try to fly up and down around it, and so it's like the same game every time. It's kind of like stupid, but I'm in the top 50 of 900 plus players on Game Center, so I've never been that good at a game.
That's good.
It's repetitive.
Like a day, probably total, knowing Game Center. I noticed you got a Bears hat on. They go Bears.
That's actually, you know what, that is the key thing. I mean, The Halas Trophy, is it going to be in Chicago this year? The Halas Trophy? NFC Championship?
I certainly hope so. I had a feeling all year.
They never got respect.
No. Even now, they're saying, you know, oh, Green Bay is going to beat them.
Well, yeah, when they play the Seahawks, they're like, oh, you know, you beat the Seahawks. That's an easy team. You're expected to win, even though the Seahawks beat the Saints.
And even though the Seahawks beat us at home this year, too.
Aaron Rodgers is a talented young quarterback, but the hype I hear about him is just, like, completely out of hand. I mean,
this is the first year he's ever won a playoff game.
Right.
This is his third trip.
Yeah, fair enough.
This
is
Jay Cutler's first time in the playoffs. Actually, I think it's his first winning season since high school, if I'm not mistaken. He played at, what, Vanderbilt? I don't think they had a winning season. When he was there. So, yeah, it's actually his first winning season since high school, which is kind of cool.
What are the key matchups? Like, it's like the Bears D versus the Packers offense, right? Is what it's going to come down to.
The Packers have a great D, too. The Packers are really good all around, and their biggest lag this year was running, and they've gotten that together in the past couple weeks. One of their rookies is doing pretty well. Sparks, what is his name?
Yeah. He was this close from being signed with the Bears, and the last second the Bears said, oh, we don't want you to sign someone else. Like, so he's got like a personal vendetta against the Bears.
Ryan Grant went out in the first or second week of the year with an injury that took him out for the entire season.
The floor, was it? They took him instead of
Matt LaFever.
They took him instead of the guy, Sparks.
Okay, so they took someone from Central Michigan instead of Green Bay's running back, and then they cut that guy because he got injured preseason.
Are you talking about that quarterback who was at CMU?
Yeah, the fighting Chippewas.
He was good. That's too bad he got hurt, because let me tell you, he single-handedly beat Michigan State last year. You know, Michigan State was, you know, probably better at every other position, but he threw his way into winning that game, you know? I mean, he was
I
a good player.
I heard from someone that he had a family connection to the Bears. One of his, you know, like, you know, some kind of relatives in the organization. I think that's probably part of why they took a look at him, but I do remember that he refused to throw to receivers at the combine. Or maybe it wasn't the combine. I don't know if he was invited to that. But wherever you know, they're testing out the potential draft picks, he refused to throw to the receivers because he didn't know them. You know, Bears went and picked him anyway.
The guy who came out of Notre Dame recently, also apparently Jimmy Clausen, apparently he had such a bad attitude and he wasn't as good as advertised. He dropped down into the second round after being hyped as like top 10.
Yeah, and he was the Browns quarterback this year, wasn't he?
That was Colt McCoy, the Texas player.
No. Where's Clausen playing?
You know, I'm not even sure. I guess I'm not sure. I don't know. I mean, but you guys, what do you guys think the score is going to be? You're going to predict a Bears win, I would guess, over the Pack.
Oh, well, I predicted that a long time ago. I believed it then. I believe it now. Ferry's got a special thing going on.
Yeah.
You know?
All right.
Mark and I were talking earlier, and Mark brought up how much Lovie Smith has surrounded himself with top-level coaching talent. We've got maybe four other assistant coaches that were all head coaches at one point. So, I mean, he's got a great staff around him. They brought in Mike Martz, who won it with Kurt Warner and the Rams and Marshall Faulk. You know, he's regarded pretty highly as an offensive coordinator. And it seems like Cutler fits in his system. And even though they went 0-4 in the preseason, they made a lot of noise this year. And yeah, like you said before, it's been an excuse every time they win. It's you know, this team was hurt or this happened or that. No one's ever given them credit, but this is our second time in the NFC Championship in 5 years, and this time we actually have a real quarterback, because the last time was Rex Grossman. So I think people better start taking the Bears a little more seriously.
Yeah, I think it's a good team, and hey, I mean, it's always fun when the Bears are winning. It's always it must be really wild in Chicago, especially if they win tomorrow. That'll be something. Cool. Well, you know, I don't know if this isn't a Game Center game, but on the iOS apps, have you tried Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2 on the iPhone?
No, I've been playing a little too much Tony Hawk Project 8 on PS3 to want to switch over to iOS.
It's just a really amazing...
All my Tony Hawk out there. But I remember you telling me about it. How are the controls on that?
You know what? It's amazing. They have like a drawn-on old-school PlayStation button pad. You know, it is, and it's very much like playing the old PlayStation game. The only reason I was bringing it up is that they haven't gone very far in it or anything, but it is amazing how much it is like playing it on a PS2. It's just amazing. Like, I just thought it was really cool. Like, the controls really are...
Yeah, actually, you know, graphically, the iPhone 4, at least, is pretty impressive compared to PlayStation, you know, 2. Even I showed you the game Infinity Blade, right? You know, when I was laying around Christmas. The graphics on that are great. And when I played it on the iPad, and hold on, we got a Honda Element trying to start some shit, motherfucker. it just really goes to show, you know, the right developers and the right, you know, if there's enough money in a project, they can make some really nice looking games on iOS. And,
sure.
And that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, I found out FIFA 11 too. Like, it's crazy, but I think I actually like playing FIFA on the iPhone better than on the PSP. And that's, you know, for me, that's heretical to say, but that game is actually better on that. All right, cool. Well, I'll let you guys.
I have played.
You play that one?
I think we just got a little bit of latency going on. But yeah, I have played FIFA 11. It is a lot of fun on iOS. I was very surprised.
Yeah.
At how well they did,
isn't it?
At making it feel like you said with Tony Hawk, making it feel playing on a PS2 or something.
It's really
that one's a lot of fun, I gotta say.
Those are the kind of games that I think moves it along as a pretty serious game platform. All right, before I let you go, one more thing. I just wanted to mention the retro video apps that are popular now. I know you and I have both tried 8mm. What do you think of that with your experiments?
I think it's pretty nifty. I agree with a lot of the reviews that I've read that say they need to integrate pictures as well as just video. I think it'd be kind of neat to take some stills with it. But other than that, yeah, it seems like a real nifty app, you know, and it's like $2. I mean,
yeah,
it's pretty cool. I like it.
And I like it too. And I've been meaning to try its new competitor, iSuper 8, but I haven't gotten to that. And then I noticed you've been using the Camera Plus or Camera Plus sign or whatever that one is.
I actually prefer Camera Plus for my stills. It has a stabilizer feature where it waits till the phone is not moving until it takes the picture. It seems to come out clearer. The other, you know, enhancements to the general interface are really nice for taking pictures. And then the Twitter integration is really good, I think.
Yeah.
So, actually, yeah, Camera Plus is, it has replaced my standard camera application.
Yeah.
I use a different video app. I forget the name of it, but you actually turned me onto it for videos. So I actually don't use the onboard iOS camera app too often anymore.
Yeah, I use the Camera Plus, and I also like the Pro Camera. They're very different. Like, Pro Camera has imaging features and it does video, whereas Camera Plus has the processing filters and the built-in sharing. Like, they do different things, but the thing they have in common is they both kind of redesigned the iOS camera interface and just tweaked it and made it a little better in both cases. So, I don't know. I thought that was pretty cool. I better let you guys out, have some fun out in Chicago. Thanks, Jim and Mark, for joining.
Yeah, you're kind of breaking up a little bit. Right now. We're on the highway now, so anyway, thanks for having us. Go Bears, and
go Bears.
Maybe see you next time.
Sounds good, cool. All right.
All right, take it easy.
See you, Dan.
In terms of iOS apps, I just wanted to mention that also Cut the Rope Holiday Gift is a cool one to get. It's free. It's Christmas based, so you know if you want to play a Christmas style game. I know it's already January, but in the last podcast, I made a sort of confused mention of that, where I thought that was a level added on to the actual regular Cut the Rope game. But this is actually its own free app, so even if you don't want to pay the buck or two that you could to get Cut the Rope, which I think you might want to. It's a good game. You could also just get the Cut the Rope Holiday Gift. It has good graphics and the same basic gameplay. That's a fun game. As is those other ones we mentioned. I really do like some of these games that give a more I don't know if it's a full gaming experience or a more traditional platform gaming style experience. But stuff like, Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2, that's very cool. I'd love to see Tony Hawk Pro Skater 4, kind of my favorite. But, you know, I mean, we'll see if they release that one, too, for the iOS platform. I wanted to mention that I've done a couple videos lately. And if you want to check them out, there'll be a link in the show notes at djmblog.com. I think it actually connects to what I was saying earlier. One of the movies I called The Treat. It uses the 8mm app to video the first part of it. The first portion, you see the birds in the cage, and it's in that grainy black and white that the 8mm app. Actually renders, and then it goes to a regular HD video. And it's kind of cool because it's the story of how my parakeets Belle and Sparty were grabbing the treat, and Dodger, the little guy, he wanted some too. So first he's on the floor of the cage getting the stuff falling off, and then after a little repositioning, it's set up so the three of them can all access it at the same time. I also did a video called Christmas in Chicago 2010. Took a video while I was out in Des Plaines in Chicago, Illinois, and around town celebrating Christmas with family. There's some fun stuff in there, just kind of laid back holiday party video. Several different parties form the backdrop. So I recommend checking that out. You can also check my YouTube channel if you want. Go to youtube.com/user/PacificPelican. Thank you. Now, I also wanted to mention the URL shortening script that I'm working on. I actually have been working on a URL shortener. Now, why would you want your own URL shortener? There's services like bit.ly, bit.ly, and the Google URL shortener. I think that's go.gl. You can use those to shorten a longer URL, you know, make it a smaller number of characters, and then it'll be easier to fit it into what you write on Twitter. So, you know, you can write something and also send the link. Now, those are Billy and Google's URL shorteners both give you stats about how many clicks. They're both pretty good. Now, one of the things about those URL shorteners is some people like to have stats, but some people like to have branding. They like to, you know, they like to have their own URL. The same way, you know, you can have your own URL for your blog. Why not have it for your URL shortener? That way, you know, you put the responsibility on yourself for maintaining the shortener so that your links in Twitter and wherever your tweets get aggregated can actually work as long as you maintain the shortener. Now, there are a few scripts out there to set up URL shorteners, modules and scripts that either stand alone or plug into systems like Drupal. But I didn't quite find the URL shortener that I wanted. I looked around and I even installed a script, and I realized there are certain features that I wanted. So I decided, all right, I'm going to try to build my own URL shortener. So I actually am I've actually gotten it set up and working. It's a private URL shortener, so it requires a password. So it's really for me and my sites. Now, I do, you know, see the value of offering a public URL shortening service, but because I'm not, I'm really just building it for my own web infrastructure and you know, and for, you know, say Jessica to use. It's not a large scale project, but I want it to work, and I wanted it to not use a SQL database. You know, I've seen scripts that use MySQL databases, just make a simple table, and that's how you you store the data about what parameter corresponds with what URL. So if you have a way to store your URLs, I mean, databases can work, but my view is that database is a little bit heavy for a very simple small URL shortener. So I decided to design it without a SQL database. It uses a simple text file database. And so I've gotten it working. It's at r.sf3am.com, but it certainly could be improved. But one of the last feature I bolted onto it was it actually does do a 301 redirect. So that's the HTTP status message that you send. That's considered, I think that's widely considered a best practice with URL shorteners to send a 301 signal, meaning this page is moved permanently, so that when the page gets loaded, the shortened URL page, the browser right away sees that this page has been moved, and here's where it's been moved. Well, the parakeets still have a lot to say. My birds, Belle, Sparty, Dodger, but I have only one more segment, so after this interlude, I'll come back and wrap up the podcast. Sit and drink a little bit of late night espresso. I want to share a few thoughts on Google's recent decision to announce that they were not going to support H.264 video in their Chrome browser. This may seem like an inside web designer type of issue, but I think it has a lot of implications for the wider web, for technology, and for free standards. There's a lot of debate going on about this issue, and there are many people who are against this decision by Google. They lament why not support H.264 as it has been adopted by some people, like many companies, including Apple and Microsoft, and it's being pushed by those parties as an HTML5 standard for web video. The issue is that H.264, which is a codec, a coder decoder for video, it's a way to compress video in computer file format. It's a royalty encumbered format for camera makers that want to use it in their camera. They have to pay for service providers that want to decode it, say in their browser, they have to pay a license for it. For people that are streaming it off their web server above a certain size, they have to pay for it. And the web, especially in the last handful of years, has been built on open standards. So WebM is what Google says they're going to support for video. Now, it is convenient they own WebM. I'm not saying Google isn't without profit motive and without the usual corporate incentives here, but I think this move may be good for the overall web. I think people will still be able to watch H.264 video. I certainly wouldn't want H.264 video to become unwatchable. I have my own wedding video and many podcasts encoded in H.264, and I want people to be able to see those. And by podcasts, I mean my video podcast that I did, pacificpelican.us/podcast. Now, I want there to be open standards, but I want people to have a choice. And I think that in terms of building the web for the future, I think it's very important to have standards that are not encumbered by royalties. So I'm really excited that Google is taking a bold stand. People are going to know what WebM is now, and there's going to be more of a debate. And we'll see where it goes from there. So thanks for listening. This has been the DJMblog.com podcast. You can check out more stuff that I do at pacificpelican.us. And you can also see lovebirdsconsulting.com. It's an excellent consulting firm that my wife and I run. And I would enjoy to hear any feedback at podcast@pacificpelican.us. So thanks for watching. You've been listening to the podcast with me, Daniel J. McKeown. All right, I'll see you later on.